Testing.
House and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord.
Another Lord's Day. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would fill our hearts to overflowing with your loving grace. Fill us so full, Lord, that there's not room for anything less than your glorious presence. Have your way now in these moments together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Open now the grace of a fountain.
invite you to join with me now in our affirmation of faith. We believe in God who created us, who sustains us each moment, who is our life and our breath.
We follow Christ who showed us God.
He received and shared God's grace.
He trusted God in everything.
He let go of things so that he might cling to life.
He let go of life so that he might hold on to love.
He gave of himself, even his very life, for the sake of the healing of the world.
He was crucified, but God had him alive again. He arose and is among us in a new way.
We live by the Holy Spirit, who alone gives us life.
We rejoice in the church, the body of Christ, in the oneness of all life, the gift of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the mystery of eternal life.
By the power of that Holy Spirit, and in the name of Christ, we devote ourselves to give generously of all we have.
For the sake of the healing of the world, and to the eternal glory of God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, let's get things started on the right foot. Linda, come on down here if you would, please. We're gonna do this upright. Now, I don't want anybody to miss a single word that you have to say. All right.
As of Friday, I found out that my cancer has... I have no more cancer at the moment. You make me cry. I've cried all day Friday.
Great.
For happy tears, but I praise God. I thank Him. It was for God, for all of my prayer warriors and my chemo bill, that this is all taken care of so far. He said that it was a disease under control, and I feel good about it. And God is in control. So
amen
to that.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you all. Love you all.
Now if we can just get old what's-his-name straightened out, we'll be all right, huh?
Yeah, poor Tommy.
Yeah, do keep Tommy in your prayers. He's had surgery number two, and maybe even looking at another one. So pray for Tommy and pray for Linda through this. Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Any other joys and concerns? Prayers are all answered? Great. Pat? Pray for Chris, okay? Do remember our nation and our world. Okay. All that are... Dear brother that's leading North Korea has to do is have one bad night, and who knows? We've got a bunch of people out there that need our prayers. We'll let it go at that. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, you saw us through this past week. And as we've already heard, there are some that have made it through the valley and now are on the mountaintop. There are some that are headed down into the valley, whatever it may be. This morning, we pray that you'd be with each one in this room. So many, Lord, with physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, financial needs. We just pray that your healing spirit would be upon each one of them. Your word promises that we can cast our every care on you because you care for us. Lord, you care about the plumbing problems we have at home. You care about our pets. You care about that doctor's report that we're waiting on. You care about the relationship issues. Oh, we see programs on television and we laugh about the idea of family feud, but so often that's the way it is, Lord. We just pray that you would heal us, that you would heal our families, that you would heal our nation, that you would heal our world. And Lord, we don't have any right to pray for healing if we are not willing to be healed, if we are not willing to do whatever is in our power to make things better. So we pray, Lord, that you would fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that we might be your ambassadors of peace within ourselves and around the world, of healing within ourselves and around the world, of joy within ourselves and around the world. Thank you, Lord. We pray now that you would meet with us. We thank you for all the many years that you've been with Rockwood United Methodist Church and your people here, for all of the times that you've used your people to reach out and to help change lives. Help us now that we might be faithful in fulfilling your calling to us in 2017 and beyond to do your will and your work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. Use us now to your honor and glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your gifts and blessings to us. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
as we sing Holy Ground.
Be seated. Reading this morning from the book of Exodus, chapter 3. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed, because the bush was engulfed in flames but did not burn up. Amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over to see this. When the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," God told him. "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the Lord God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he hid his face in his hands because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "You can be sure I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I've come to rescue them from the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own good and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites live. The cries of the people of Israel have reached me. Now I have seen how the Egyptians have oppressed them with heavy task. Go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Our sermon today is entitled, "We Need a Burning Bush Experience." Let me share with you that there are several lessons from this scripture that we just read in Exodus chapter 3 that we can learn from. First of all, we need to notice that it was only when Moses focused that God spoke. You know, we sing that chorus that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We need to turn our eyes and our ears and our hearts toward him. This is what we do during prayer and during meditation, devotions, and during worship. In verse 14, a little further than what we read this morning, many of the Bible translations have God responding to Moses' question, Lord, who are you? And a lot of the versions say, I am, God responds with, I am who I am. However, Martin Buber, the noted Old Testament scholar, after studying the original Hebrew text for many years, believed that God's response was actually, I will be there. Think about that. No matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in our family, no matter what happens in our nation, no matter what happens in North Korea, no matter what happens in Afghanistan or anywhere else, God promises, I will be there. Some of you may be old enough to remember a song from way back in 1973 by Olivia Newton-John. She said, wherever you go, wherever you may wander in your life, surely you know I always want to be there. Holding your hand, standing by to catch you when you fall, seeing you through everything you do, watching you grow and going through the changes in your life. That's how I know I always want to be there. Whenever you feel you need a friend to lean on, here I am. Whenever you call, you know I'll be there. Let me be there in your morning. Let me be there in your night. Let me take whatever's wrong and make it right. Let me wander through that wonderland that only two can share. All that I ask you is let me be there. What a good gospel song, and I don't think she intended it to be that way originally, but the message is there for us. Secondly, not only did Moses have to focus first, but we need to realize that very often if we have a burning bush experience, God may not say what we want to hear. Moses did his best to try to dissuade God from sending him back to Egypt. He knew that in every post office in Egypt, his picture was on the bulletin board. Wanted, dead or alive, preferably dead. He didn't want to go back there. The Egyptians were looking for him. He saw an Egyptian soldier beating up or whipping a Hebrew, and he killed that Egyptian. He was a wanted man. He was more than content just to stay in his Mountain View cabin and in the back country there and take care of the sheep. Also, we need to realize that there are going to be times when you and I are going to have to face pharaohs in our life, and God will be there. The pharaoh in Egypt was the most powerful man in the world at that time. If he told someone to jump, the only response they could give is how high. Anything else, he could have their head cut off. That was all that it took. One did not talk back to Pharaoh, and certainly no one would tell Pharaoh what he ought to do. But God told Moses that he was to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to release several million of their Hebrew slaves. Number four, we need to realize that in life, when we are in that wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of wildernesses. There have been a lot of times when at 11:30 on Sunday morning, I was so far back in the bush, I didn't know if I was ever going to find my way out. But it happens. Do you ever have times when you feel like in life you're in the middle of a jungle? Or middle of a desert, or at the edge of a mountain cliff, God promises he will be there. Number five, we need to realize this morning that when God guides, God provides. Moses said, well, I'm not a very prolific speaker. You know, how am I going to talk to Pharaoh? God said, okay, I've got your wingman over here. Aaron's going to be with you. Aaron will take care of a lot of the talking for you. God will use people and circumstances to help us if we allow him to. Number six, listen to this now. God is less concerned with our ability than with our availability. You got that? There are a lot of things we can't do, But if we say, okay, God, here I am, use me in any way you want, we would be surprised what God would do through us. It's not what we can do or what we cannot do. It's whether or not we are willing. Number 7, when we obey God, we will experience God's power. Remember the plagues that visited Egypt because Moses was obeying God? We will experience God's purpose. All of a sudden, Moses had a purpose and a direction in his life. We will experience God's providence, freeing of the Israelite slaves. Do you want power? Obey. Do you need purpose in your life? Obey. Do you want to experience God's providence? Obey. Moses had an experience that set him ablaze too. We've talked before about that verse in Revelation. God says, I would you were hot or cold, but because you're only lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. God wants us on fire for him. Number 9, God would have sent Moses, even if there had only been one Israelite in slavery in Egypt. Jesus Christ would have died on Calvary's cross if you were the only person in the world that needed to be saved. He would still have come, been born in the manger, lived, died on the cross, rose again, just for you. I like that gospel song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The story is told of a bad storm that hit along the east coast one time. After the storm was over, a little boy went out, and as far as he could see down the beach, there were starfish on the sand. He started walking down the beach, and he'd pick up a starfish and throw it back in the ocean, pick up another one and throw it back in the ocean, pick up another one. Man walking the other way came up to him and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing these starfish back in the ocean so they won't die. He said, are you kidding? There are thousands of starfish out here. You can't save them all. He says, no, but I can make a difference to this one. I can make a difference to this one. I can make a difference to this one. So often, we fail to realize the effect that we can have. Number 10, don't focus on the bush. That's not what the story is about. Was it really burning? Was it real fire? Who knows? Did Moses just have a vision? Was he hallucinating? What was going on? What does matter is that God did speak and Moses did respond. It wasn't the burning bush that made this time and this place special. It wasn't this particular spot. So often we get focused on the wrong things. One church that I was in had leaded glass windows. They weren't stained glass, they were just colored glass that had the lead around them. And over the years, they were starting to deteriorate. In fact, if the wind would blow, you could see the windows moving in and out. When it rained, nobody sat next to the windows because the rain would leak through and drop down and splatter. So we set up a committee to look into new windows, what it would cost and what we were getting into. And they came back with some thermopane windows that looked very similar to what we had in there. They were insulated. You couldn't feel the wind coming through. You couldn't hear the noise outside. And the cost wasn't that exorbitant either. And so we called a church conference after Sunday service one week. And we took a vote on whether they had a nice presentation up there with pictures and everything else of the new windows. And we took a vote as to what the church wanted to do. And it was about 28 or 29 to 21 or 22 in favor. So after I announced the vote, one of the members said, "I demand a revote." So we took a revote. And then it was 27 or 28 to 22 or 23, something like that. And that same member, bless his heart, that's a Tennessee thing, okay? He said, "I demand a revote." Well, we had some discussion. One of the dear souls that was there that morning, he got up and he said, "Well, these windows have seen our tears, and these windows have heard our laughter, and these windows have heard us sing." Those windows didn't see or hear nothing. Okay? They were just metal and glass. But he was ready to worship those windows because they were all seeing and all knowing, all hearing. Well, we took a revote, and it was pretty close to a tie vote. So I just said, "Okay, I suggest we table it." And lo and behold, those same windows now are still seeing and hearing and witnessing all the worship that's going on. Isn't that great? We get so wrapped up in the wrong things. What made that place so special was the presence of God. That's why it was holy ground. We need to realize that we can have a burning bush experience. We can be on holy ground at church, at home, at work, in our car. Anytime we're willing to acknowledge and worship the presence of God. Now, that doesn't mean that next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock you go out and play around the golf. Because I can worship God on the golf course just as good as I can at church. Yeah, I realize out on the golf course there are people that will lie and cheat too. You know, when nobody's looking, they'll kick their golf ball a few feet closer to the hole and that sort of thing. So just not much different from some of the folk that go to church, but no. No, the Bible says, "Forsake not the gathering yourselves together." It's a family reunion, okay? And that's what we need to realize here. Number 11, we need to realize that even in those moments when we may be nose to nose facing death, God's promise is still, "I will be there." Now, let me give you real quickly here some promises, some guidelines from this God who promised he would always be with us. Okay? Effective immediately. Now, this is not from me. This is from God, okay? Effective immediately, please be aware that there are changes you need to make in your life. These changes need to be completed in order that I might fulfill my promise to grant you peace, joy, and happiness in life. I apologize for any inconvenience, but after all that I am doing, it seems very little to ask of you. Please follow these 10 guidelines. Number 1, quit worrying. I don't know if that speaks to anybody here or not. It says, "Life has dealt you a blow and all you do is sit and worry. Have you forgotten that I'm here to take your burdens and carry them for you? Or do you just enjoy fretting over every little thing that comes your way?" Bill Gaither wrote a song that says, "He holds the future in the palm of his hand and he has never failed me yet. I know he's reigning and he still has control, so why should I worry or fret?" That kind of covers it. Number 2, put it on the list. If something needs to be done or taken care of, put it on the list. No, not your list. Put it on my to-do list. Let me be the one to take care of the problem. I can't help you until you turn it over to me. Although my to-do list is long, I am, after all, God. I can handle anything you put into my hands. In fact, if the truth were ever known, I'd take care of a lot of things that you never even realize. Number 3, trust me. Once you've given your burdens to me, quit trying to take them back. Trust in me. Have the faith that I will take care of your needs, your problems, and your trials. Problems with your children? Problems with your parents? put them on my list. Problems with finances, put it on my list. Problems with your emotional roller coaster, for my sake, put it on my list. I want to help you. All you have to do is ask. Number four, leave it alone. Don't wake up one morning and say, well, I'm feeling much stronger now. I think I can handle it from here, God. Why do you think you're feeling stronger? It's simple. You gave me your burdens and I'm taking care of them. I also renew your strength and cover you with my peace. Don't you know that if I give these problems back, you'll be right back where you started? Leave them with me and forget about them. Just let me do my job. Number five, talk to me. I want you to forget a lot of things. Forget what was making you crazy. Forget the worry and fretting because you know I'm in control. But there's one thing I pray you never forget. Please do not forget to talk to me. Often. I love you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to include me in the things going on in your life. I want to hear you talk about your friends and family. Prayer is simply you having a conversation with me. I want to be your dearest friend. We sing that song that says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Number six, have faith. I see a lot of things from up here that you can't see from where you are. Have faith in me that I know what I'm doing. Trust me. You wouldn't want the view from my eyes. I will continue to care for you, watch over you, and meet your needs. You have only to trust me. Although I have a much bigger task than you, it seems you have so much trouble just doing your simple part. How hard can trust be? Number seven, share. You were taught to share when you're only 2 years old. When did you forget? That rule still applies. Share with those who are less fortunate than you. Share your joy with those who need encouragement. Share your laughter with those who haven't heard any in such a long time. Share your tears with those who have forgotten how to cry. Share your faith with those who have none. Number eight, be patient. I managed to fix it so that in just one lifetime, you could have so many diverse experiences. You grow from a child to an adult, have children, change jobs many times, learn many trades, travel so many places, meet thousands of people, and experience so much. How can you be so impatient then when it takes me a little longer than you expect to handle something on my to-do list? Trust in my timing, for my timing is perfect. Just because I created the entire universe in 6 days, everyone thinks I should always rush, rush, rush. Number nine, be kind. Be kind to others, for I love them just as much as I love you. They may not dress like you or talk like you or live the same way that you do, but I still love you all. Please try to get along for my sake. I created each of you different in some way. It would be too boring if you were all identical. Can't you imagine if everybody was just like your preacher? Sometimes one of him is more than enough for this world. God says, please know that I love each of your differences. And finally, number 10, love yourself. As much as I love you, how can you not love yourself? You are created by me for one reason only, to be loved and to love in return. I am a God of love. Love me, love your neighbors, but also love yourself. It makes my heart ache when I see you angry with yourself when things go wrong. You're very precious to me. Don't ever forget. Remember every moment of every day. When your feet first hit the floor, you are standing on holy ground because God is there. As you rush through the day, you're on holy ground because God is right beside you. Whether you're going through the lowest valley or over the highest mountaintop, God is with you all the way. Each step you take, you're on holy ground. You have the opportunity each moment of each day to have a burning bush experience. Trust God. Worship God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, this morning we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. Remind us, Lord, that without both of those, there could not be life. Remind us that even in those times when the clouds are rolling in and the thunder is rolling across the sky and the lightning is flashing, just a few hundred feet above us, the sun is shining and the sky is bright blue. This too shall pass. Thank you, Lord. Help us that we might focus on seeing God. Help us that we might allow you to give us a burning bush experience. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "Here I Am, Lord."
Now may you leave this place, realizing that because you are called by God, because God is going with you, you're going to be on holy ground. May you be empowered by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.